If your small business has a problem, you could say,
"Ugh, just my luck."
But you should say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And we'll help get you back in business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hi, I'm Nick. I'm getting married today. I'm also a firefighter and first responder. When you move over and slow down, you're making sure I can make it to my ceremony to start the next chapter of my life.
When you see flashing lights, remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
All right, guys, welcome into the special Monday night edition of Talking Ball, we're going to call this, Talking Recruiting. Thank you, everybody, for joining in. Have a little patience with us this afternoon. I'm going to be taking all you guys' questions tonight. Just talking recruiting, man. Big day for the Texas Longhorns, for Steve Sarkisian, with Dia Bell, 2026 quarterback from American Heritage and Plantation, Florida, committing to the Texas Longhorns. That is a huge win for Texas. Obviously, potential five-star quarterback. Some people have him rated five-star. Some people have him rated four-star. See where it all kind of ends up. This is well before his junior season starts, or a couple of months before his junior season starts. So a lot of games to be played, a lot of tape out there. But Dia Bell's in the mix for the top quarterbacks in the country in 2026. But this is a big win for Steve Sarkisian and staff because, look, it's – Broward County, if we're watching Dia Bell here, to me, makes this a big win. Yes, Dia Bell's a big-time quarterback. Yes, he has the bloodlines. Obviously, father, Rajah Bell, played in the NBA a long time, was a star at FIU. His mom was a soccer star at FIU. He has a little brother. I think he's going to be a really good hooper, by the way. Deal's also a really good hooper before really focusing on football. Dia, for those that don't know, averaged about 21 points a game as a freshman on varsity at American Heritage. Five rebounds, five assists. Really, as you would expect, knows how to play the game of basketball. Went football focused. But getting a quarterback, a marquee player out of Broward County, I think that's big. I mean, yes, Michael Kern, the punter, came out of Broward, St. Thomas Aquinas last year, and will be competing for that job here this season. But Dia Bell, top-ranked kid. Quarterback, top-ranked prospect out of that South Florida area, Dayton Broward. That's tougher areas for the University of Texas. But with the move to the SEC, I think, again, that shows the reach of Steve Sarkisian at the quarterback position and this Texas program moving into the SEC. It was so interesting when I went down to American Heritage in mid-May and I watched the practice at American Heritage, watched Dia Bell, sat down with him for an interview, which is on Texas Football in the archives. You know, there's a lot of chatter at the time. I love that little whip right there to the outside in the quick game. Love his feet in the pocket, by the way. But a lot of people are talking about Penn State and LSU being the teams to beat. But when I was down there and I talked to Dia, he said, I have one visit scheduled, and that was Texas June 1st. I said, what else? Nothing else right now. Now, he went on and scheduled three visits, but at the time when I left there, I was like, hold on, that doesn't really match up with kind of the reports that Penn State and LSU were leading for Dia Bell, because Dio Kemp, he had been to Austin in mid-March with his father. Texas offered him then. Obviously, he had become a top target of Texas. Him, Troy Hune, Jack Curtis, who committed to Georgia. Those were pretty much the three quarterbacks. So it really came down to Dia Bell and Troy. And you could tell that Texas had really liked Dia Bell a lot, but I could tell leaving that day at American Heritage that Texas was much more in contention than I think people thought originally for Dia Bell. And then obviously FSU with the late offer in May, and then he scheduled that visit at camp date June 9th. It made me wonder, okay, is FSU actually the competition for Texas? Because that's a late offer and an immediate camp visit. to throw for Mike Norvell and the staff. But then he went to Ohio State. Then he went to LSU. And he commits to Texas today. Big-time pickup. I just love that Texas is spending more time in the state of Florida. I know this is quarterback, and this is kind of a specialty recruit in Broward County for Texas. But I just love the more resources, and that means time spent, feet on the ground, recruiting the state of Florida, because I do think kids in Florida have interest in Texas and will come visit the University of Texas. And getting Dia Bell certainly does not help hurt Texas' cause in the state of Florida. I also think this commitment is going to go over big nationally for Texas, especially in the Southeast region. Popular kid, great personality. I had a great conversation with him. Again, you can find that. But Dia Bell, just he's a wonderful kid. He's got a little something to him, if you know what I mean, that I think makes him attractive to other prospects. He knows how to talk to those guys. He's got some leadership. He's got a little something to him, a little moxie to him that really impressed me in person. So Dia Bell, big pickup for the Texas Longhorns. Like I said, this is your kind of your talking ball Longhorn live stream recruiting for Monday night. Thought it'd be great to just come in, answer a bunch of questions for you guys. So much going on. Texas had 16 official visitors over the weekend. Three midweeks coming in this week. Another 16, 17, 18 guys coming in next weekend. So seven the first weekend. It's over 40 official visitors. We have a number of guys that are going to be announcing here in late June, early July. Most of them in July. We'll get to some of those guys. And again, I'm going to answer all you guys' questions. So, but before we get going, I do want to take a couple of minutes here for the sponsor of Talking Ball in this Longhorn live stream tonight. That is John Donovan, the president of Longhorn Wealth Management Group. John is a proud Texas Exes Life member whose wife and all six siblings are also University of Texas graduates. This explains why John has branded his firm Longhorn Wealth and has dedicated his firm to providing total wealth management for Texas alumni, employees, family, and friends. John is a certified financial planner with over 30 years of experience and wants to offer every OTF member and fan a free 90-minute consultation on how to explore how Longhorn Wealth can help you and your families maximize your wealth, minimize your taxes, and secure your own financial future and legacy. So to schedule your own 90-minute free consultation, simply call Longhorn Wealth Team at 972-707-4900 or schedule an appointment online at www.longhornwealth.net. Lastly, Longhorn Wealth is wishing good luck to all our current and former Longhorns who are competing in the U.S. Olympic trials for the right to represent USA in the Summer Olympics in France in July and August, and hook 'em. All right, guys, thank you very much for joining in. Numbers are growing fast. I'm just going to start getting to you guys' questions. I think that's the best thing I can do is get to the questions, and we will answer as many of those as I can tonight. Let's see. Let me go up at the top here. Let's start at the top. We had some questions at like 4:45 when I think some people thought we were originally coming on. We changed that time. So we will do that. Here's a good one. Let's start with this. Daniel, is there a real shot with Jamie French, five-star receiver out of Jacksonville Mandarin? If so, what do you think his strategy is with the flipping of the top teams, if there is one? I think Texas has a very legitimate shot at Jamie French. He'll be in Austin this weekend for an official visit. He was at Tennessee. He was at Miami. He was at LSU, those four schools. He has a late August decision coming August 30th. When I was by the school in mid-May, I thought Texas was in a pretty good spot for him at the time. LSU was the competition for Texas. They were the top two with Miami and Tennessee right there, and Ohio State maybe on the peripheral at that time. I do think that Tennessee may be a player in this more than given credit for, but we'll see what happens with Jamie French, though. He'll visit Texas this weekend. I think Texas will be one of the two at the end of the day he chooses from. Who is that main competition? We will see. All right, moving on here. Craig Johnson, how do Sark and Mack Brown recruiting in year four compare? When Strong and Herman were hired, I was excited. I think Sark is the one to get our beloved Horns back to winning. He's definitely on track to do that. He started it this year. I thought that year two for Sark was huge, going from 5-7 to 8-5. That takes away a lot of negative recruiting. You've seen what happened as Billy Napier struggled to get over the hump in Florida. Makes recruiting difficult at the end, closing out these classes. I thought Sark going from 5 wins to 8 wins in year 2 was huge. And then obviously last year, getting to 12 wins, college football playoff, Big 12 championship, 11 players drafted. I mean, third straight top 5 level class. I think Sark's doing a tremendous job, is doing a tremendous job recruiting right now. I think the staff is doing a very good job evaluating talent, developing talent, and really locking in and staying on those A-group guys in recruiting, right? They recruit through the whistle. They're going to continue to fight for guys even if they commit to other schools. I think they're doing a great job. Now, Mack Brown was as good as you'll ever find in the living room with the families, closing out and recruiting. Recruiting's different now, though. Recruiting is more closing out in June, decisions in July, 80-85% of kids out there. Not that Mack would not excel in it today. It's just such a different game now. But I do think Sark is doing the best job of recruiting, building a roster, developing a roster, as I've seen in my years doing this now. We'll see. Mack Brown had a lot of great players come through the University of Texas, won the national title, lost in a national title game when Colt got hurt, was close a number of other times to getting to the national championship game, had a couple of rough losses there. So we'll see long-term how that shakes out. But I think Sark and his staff are doing a great job with evaluation, development, staying on the top targets, not deviating from that, and continuing to evaluate senior year guys in adding to your classes. I think a lot of times nowadays we look for the June, July classes, see where they're ranked in August before the ball's ever kicked before senior years or football season. But if you think about last year, Xavier Fields to me didn't have an offer right now. Wardell Mack was about to commit to Florida. Ty Anthony Smith committed to A&M a little later on. So Texas stays on these guys. They keep battling for their guys, no matter if they're committed to Texas or somewhere else. So something just to keep in mind with this recruiting class as well, because you won't get them all. You just got to keep battling. Ekim, how do the 2025 targets think of Diabel committing to Texas? I think guys like it, but I think these guys are more focused. They're so focused on who the quarterbacks are at Texas right now. I mean, for all these kids are thinking, I'm going to come in and play as a freshman, so who's my quarterback going to be at Texas? I don't think they're really thinking about the guys that develop later, but I think Diabel is going to be a popular kid with a lot of prospects. And just he can follow up with just keep stacking top 5 classes and Texas will be fine. Absolutely true there. I think on recruiting-wise, if you have 3 straight top 5 level classes and you have a 12th ranked class, I'm not saying Texas is this year. I think they're going to be inside the top 7. But if you have a top 12 class, I mean, that's fine too. Michigan had a couple of top 10 classes, did a great job developing their players into the program that Jim Harbaugh ultimately won a national title in.
Welcome to a trip you'll never forget in Denver, where summer sunshine sparks mountain adventure, where neighborhood strolls lift spirits sky high, and where music takes center stage at Red Rocks. Catch a baseball game at Coors Field. Step into new dimensions at Meow Wolf. And take flavor to the next level under the stars at a Michelin restaurant. Denver, always welcome. Plan your trip at visitdenver.com/summer.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne.
Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
W.A. Jones said, like I said yesterday, Sark's got it rolling. Absolutely. I'm going down here. Michael Gresser has a good question here. Who of the uncommitted DTs do you think Texas has the best shot at with? It's a good question. I mean, I think Brandon Brown likes the idea of playing at Texas, remains committed to Texas. He'll visit Oklahoma this weekend. Obviously, I think Texas LSU is still where that decision will come from ultimately. But I think Brandon Brown likes the idea of playing at Texas. We'll see how it shakes out. I think Texas has a legitimate shot at Myron Charles, guys. He visits FSU this weekend. I know there's been a lot of confidence on the FSU side. I think Texas is right there in the thick of that race. Josiah Sharma, I think they're right there in the thick of that race with Alabama, maybe Oregon. Washington also got a visit, but really been trending more Texas-Alabama. We'll see if Oregon made enough of a dent. But did Kevin Wynn? I think Texas put their best foot forward this week in with Kevin Wynn, and I think it showed Texas showed him all the capabilities outside of football for him from a networking perspective. He wants to be a chef. Culinary is very, very important to him. Yes, he wants to be a great football player, but he has a real interest in cooking, being a chef, owning his own restaurant one day. I think Texas did a great job there. Again, he'll be at FSU this weekend as well. So a lot of eyes in Austin will be on FSU this weekend because Myron Charles is there, Kevin Wynn is there, and Javion Hilson, the FSU commitment, who's an edge target for Texas, will be on campus in Tallahassee this weekend as well, as will Lamont Rogers. So there's a number of guys Texas is recruiting at FSU this weekend. So again, thank you all for all you guys for joining in tonight. We'll just keep taking all your questions. Ekim, did Kevin try to make brisket during his visit? I don't know that. I know he cooked up a couple of steaks though. But I wonder if he didn't take a visit to USC because of Lincoln's brisket. I will have to ask him that at some point. I don't know. We'll have to look. All right. Shook Ones has a good question. How are we looking with Pettis on post-visit? And when does Matai Taguai visit? He's the USC commitment. We'll see. I think Texas will stay on him, see what USC does this year on the field defensively. Madden Foramo, four-star linebacker from San Juan Capistrano, scheduled to be in this weekend. Most people consider him a Notre Dame lean. We'll see if Texas can close the gap there. Obviously, Riley Pettijohn, look, I think three teams are really in this thing. I think it's Texas. I think it's the Texas A&M, and I think it's Ohio State. He also visited USC, but I think Texas and Ohio State have maybe been the top two for a while here. Texas, I think, has been in a good position. I think Ohio State's done very well in this recruitment as well. Let's see what Texas A&M does this weekend. I think they're going to throw every kitchen sink in College Station at this recruitment this weekend with Riley Pettijohn. I think, you know, one of the things you come down to the wire here, Texas has Elijah Barnes already. The last thing A&M really wants to see is Elijah Barnes and Riley Pettijohn go to Texas. Mike Elko's a defensive guy now. Last thing you want is two elite linebackers in this state going the same direction. Oh, by the way, I talked to Jonathan Cunningham a little while ago, and he had great things to say about his Texas visit. He's scheduled to visit Kansas this weekend. Missouri's trying to get him on campus for a visit. I think he'll decide early, mid-July there. Jonathan Cunningham was hosted by Ty Anthony Smith, had a great visit this week. UT boy, I got to get this one. I got to answer this one. Over under on Jonte week one. Colorado State, 230 game. Let's go with five catches for 70 yards and a touchdown. You like that, UT boy? Aloha Traveler, thank you very much for this super chat. The door seems to be opening more and more in Florida for Texas. One thing I admire most about Sark is his ability to adjust real time in recruiting. The depth in this program right now is remarkable. Tend to agree. I like, you know, I look, Jeff Banks does work in Southwest Florida. So does, that's a sharp choice. I think Kenny Baker will recruit some in Florida as well. So I think you have three coaches that can put feet on the ground in Florida and recruit in Florida a little bit. Obviously, Jamie French out of Jacksonville, that's not an area Texas has had success recruiting. And so we'll see. Orlando, Tampa, IMG, Bradenton's where Texas had the most success. We'll see what happens now. In Jacksonville, Jamie French. I like that Texas continues to expand. I'm going to have to stop and cough a couple of times tonight. Got a little allergies. So, all right. So let's see. Do we, Thunder Pup, do you think Diabelle's recruitment is related to the recent wide receiver OV weekend? I do not. I think Diabelle likes Sarkisian in the quarterback development, likes the program in general. He camped there in eighth grade when he went, summer before ninth grade, when he went to A&M, then he stopped by Texas. He's had an interest in Texas, and especially that came to be real when Steve Sarkisian was hired. But I think the offense, Sarkisian quarterback development, Texas in the SEC, they're going to be playing a lot of games in the Southeast. I think all those things factored in. I think he had a great unofficial visit in March when he watched Texas spring practice when Texas offered him. So I just think it was a combination of all of it that he picked Texas. But the main thing, look, it goes back to this quarterback development. Where does he think he's going to go and develop? And I think that's another big check mark for Steve Sarkisian in quarterback development. I mean, another pro athlete who understands development. Rajah Bell is not a highly rated guy coming out of high school. He signs with FAU. FIU. He goes on, has a 12-year NBA career. You don't do that without maximizing your talent and developing every part of your game. Development, big. So I think Diabelle sees the development piece with Steve Sarkisian in Texas, and that was big in his decision to pick the Longhorns. So I think he liked Austin, everything about the program as well, moved to the SEC. But really, quarterback development, I think, was big. So David Rawls has something here. Sorry, UT boy, for that. David Rawls, seems like a lot of dates of certain commitments are strategic. You know, maybe, maybe not. I think a lot of these guys, they go through this visit process and they're tired. It's exhausting. They're starting to feel the pressure. I talked to a high school coach today whose kid's starting to feel the pressure a little bit when it gets down to the wire. So you go through this visit process. Recruiting's fun until the stress hits at the end. And you want to make these decisions, and you have to make these decisions. Then you want to get it out of the way and enjoy your senior year, enjoy what's left of your summer, get the stress out of the picture, and get these announcement behind you and enjoy your senior year. And I think that's the one good thing about the recruiting calendar moving up is these kids get through the recruiting process, get it behind them, and enjoy their senior year without as many distractions. But I do think, to David Rawls' point, I mean, look, we have a Smith Orogbo July 1st, right? We have Marco Jones is July 2nd. Zion Williams is July 4th. Nick Townsend at Decaney, the tight end, which is a huge visit coming up for Texas this week. He told me within the hour that he wants to make a decision second week of July. So I think it'll be before July 10th right now for Nick Townsend, which he's coming off the A&M visit. He's already been to Bama. He's been to USC, goes to Texas this weekend. He'll be going, making that visit with mom, dad, and a cousin. Big visit for Texas there this weekend at tight end, by the way. So we'll see what happens there. And by the way, Nick Townsend, he told me Texas is saying, look, man, we want you at tight end, but if you want to play linebacker edge, you can do that too. We just want you in the program. So interesting there. I think is up. So I think he prefers tight end. But if he thinks he can get on the field quicker somewhere else, he's not averse to that. But I do think he prefers tight end. But a lot of these decisions are coming in early, mid-July. I think 80-85% of these kids, they're all going to be committed before first game of their senior season. I got a super chat here from Mr. Talk Too Much, 817 Mr. Talk Too Much. Taking into account all the talent Sark has had on the offense in his coaching career and what's on their horizon, Sark or Mac, number one recruiter ever? You know, great question. I think it's to be determined there. I think Mac is, as far as communication, that guy had memory recall like very few people I've ever come across in recruiting. He was so smooth and so good in recruiting. Rod Babers has told the stories. I just did the interview Saturday with BJ Johnson, Roy Williams, and Sloan. They all talked about Mac a little bit in there. It's kind of funny stuff. If you haven't seen that video here on Texas Football, getting the big three together was a lot of fun. But look, I think we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I like the staff that Sark has assembled to recruit in the Southeast. I think that's one thing I've learned. I made mistakes early in this business, focusing on the head coach when he was hired too much versus your staff is everything when you're hired. And I really believe when you get one of these big jobs, who did you hire on your staff when you're initially hired? That tells you a lot about if a coach understands, one, the job he just took, and the recruiting geography of that job. what the future may hold for that job in recruiting, which with Texas is the SEC, right? And you were going to have your California footprint. I think the hire of Johnny Nansen was tremendous by Sarkis. He continues to evolve and plan more and plan differently for Texas in recruiting. Yes, he had his connections, but he's a head coach at Texas. He's a busy man. He's got a lot of obligations. I got Johnny Nansen hiring SoCal, getting into Las Vegas, keeping you strong in Arizona was tremendous. But that initial staff, if you go back to Sark's initial staff, I mean, Terry Joseph, Bo Davis, Brandon Harrison, recruiting role, Cortez Hankton's brother in a in-house recruiting role. There was a number of coaches that had Louisiana ties, right? Knowing Louisiana was big, knowing that in Bo Davis recruiting in the Southeast, Jeff Banks is recruited everywhere around the country. You see him, you've seen him do work in Tampa here this spring going out. He's part of the Myron Charles recruitment in Port Charlotte with Kenny Baker. So I think you look at that staff after Stan Drayton moves on, what happens? You hire Tashard Choice. Where does he have ties? Atlanta, Southeast, Florida. Huge. I mean, Cedric Baxter's not at Texas. Jarrett Gibson's not at Texas if Tashard Choice isn't hired. So that got you into the state of Florida. And he was big in the Peyton Kirkland recruitment, even though Peyton Kirkland's hit the portal. So I think the moves he's made, Chris Jackson, obviously a SoCal guy, can help in modern day. Coached at Jacksonville, has ties in Arizona. Another good hire there for the areas that Sark wants to hit recruiting moving forward. So I think Sark's done a great job with the initial staff, where their strengths were in recruiting, and then when he's made changes, who he replaced those guys with that have continued building that recruiting momentum in the Southeast region, because that's going to be – that to me, that's going to be everything moving forward in the SEC. Not that California is not really important, not that the ability to recruit nationally isn't, but Texas, Louisiana, move along I-10, south into Florida, north a little bit, up, maybe 65, along I-20, some of those areas. Those are just going to be big the next decade for Texas football recruiting. And I think Sark's done a great job of putting staff together that can maximize those areas. All right. David Rawls said Torrey Becton's huge as well. I'll say this. One of the interesting things yesterday talking to Smith Orogbo was Smith – we're talking about his visit, and Smith talked about nutrition and his strength and conditioning program, how impressed he was with that. And we started talking about Zena was his host, and he mentioned to me Zena was 235 pounds in January when he enrolled at Texas. He's 260 now. That's 25 pounds of – strength on a long, somewhat wiry frame that'll end up being 275 one day. But the work Torrey Becton's doing, the nutrition program, those are big hits with guys that are really into that physical development part of it. A guy like Smith Orogbo was 6'4", 204 pounds, starting his junior seasons up to 218 now. His big gains, strength and weight-wise on that frame are out in front of him. Will be his first year in college. So he recognizes that. Having Zena host some good move by Texas as well. Shookwin's question on still confidence with Kalik Lockett. We'll see this weekend on that visit. He's a guy who's going to be at Alabama midweek, coming to Texas this weekend. I think LSU's very much in play there. He's been to USC. He's been to Texas A&M. Texas A&M going to take three receivers in this class. Obviously, he's one of their top targets. So I think LSU's in a decent spot there. See what happens with Alabama this weekend. See what happens with a Texas visit. I think Texas takes three or four receivers in this class. So a lot going on here. E. Kimmins, I'd like to see more South Georgia prospects too. I know Ryan Nelson, who's on these chats sometimes, who lives in the Atlanta area, he echoes that. I echo that as well. I think South Georgia is a great area to evaluate, and you can get those kids on campus for visits. Georgia can't take all the guys, and there's a lot of talent in the Atlanta area and South Georgia right now. Savannah area is loaded in upcoming classes. All right, Jeremy Weisberg has a good one here. Let me get another call. Oh, sorry. Can you talk about Aiden Andy as a player? We don't hear from him from a rankings perspective. Yeah, I think the rankings will catch up with Aiden Andy his senior season. Look, he really kind of burst onto the scene in a recruiting manner when he went to the Under Armour camp in Dallas in early March, and he posted that sub 4.6 laser 40, which that may not sound fast, but Being part of ESPN and Under Armour camps for years, if you run a sub-4.6 laser start, laser finish on an Under Armour camp time, that puts you in a very high percentile. And then you ran off a 4.12 shuttle, I believe that was, laser shuttle. So he showed the ability to run, change direction. He did very well at that camp in the one-on-one setting. So then people started looking at that junior tape. Key there was he was a basketball-focused kid. Came back to football this year. Has so much talent as a cover guy naturally. I think he's got good length. Haven't seen him in person. He's got a good build. Not a wiry kid. He's going to have some strength to that frame as he gets into a college weight program. By the way, he can really shoot the basketball. If you haven't watched his huddle, go watch it. He made well over 100 three-pointers this year. One of the, I think it was second-team All-State in Louisiana. That he can really shoot the basketball, man, on a team that has one of the best freshmen prospects in America that played football and basketball there at Ruston High will be offered by everybody. But Aiden Anning, I think, can play corner. I think he can play nickel. I think he's a really good prospect. It's a big weekend for Texas, big week period with the three midweek defensive back visits. That's Dorian Brew, DeJean Lee, and Nathan Tillman, this SMU commitment who I think Texas has a real shot at. Then this weekend with Aiden Anning, Devin Williams from Buford, Georgia, committed to Auburn. Still going to visit Texas as of right now. We'll see. I think that one's a tough one. But then you have Cade Phillips, the versatile defensive back out of Hightower. I think one of the higher upside prospects Texas is recruiting in this class. 6'2", about 180. Look, long jump 24-7, back-to-back weeks this year. Over 10-inch hands, 80-inch wingspan, has ball skills at receiver. You see that if you go see him in person. But Cade Phillips, big recruitment, was at LSU last week, and I think it's coming down to Texas and LSU for Cade Phillips. So we'll see what to do. And Kevin Randolph asked, where will Troy Huhn go now? That's a good question. I don't have that answer. We'll have to see what happens there. LSU obviously had offered him a while back, so we'll see what kind of push they make. 817 talk too much as an interesting one. I want to know, Kelshawn seems to be more of an A&M lean. French, I think, is in the boat. He reminds me of Roy Williams, kind of. Tanook visited Notre Dame last weekend, scheduled to be at Baylor.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring and full throttle is half the fun, where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland. Somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Scheduled to be at Baylor this weekend. Already visited USC. I think Notre Dame's strong competition there for Tanook. I'm a big fan of Tanook as an athlete, period. If he plays receiver, great. If he plays safety, great. Anybody at 6'1", 190, runs 10.45, 10.53, second in the state, the 200, I believe, to the blur, Jelani Watkins. I say that because I know people is like, whoa, track speed, that means you can play defensive back. But when I saw him as a sophomore, he's a very physical player at wide receiver. And Dekaney's playing him at wide receiver and safety this season. So that'll be interesting to see with Tanook Hines. As far as Kelshon and A&M lean, I think that's going to be a very interesting decision by Kelshon. I believe Texas is where he wants to be. I do kind of wonder where the timing is with everything. A&M obviously prioritizing him. Sark's prioritized him too. If anybody, Texas fans, don't think Sark doesn't want Kelshon Johnson, they're wrong. They've been wrong the whole time. Look, I mean, Sark covets the type of speed, playmaker, explosive ability that Kelshon Johnson has, and he has yet to truly tap into it because he's a three-sport guy at a smaller school, and they go far and win state in basketball last 2 years. So he has yet to really tap into it. That staff does a good job down at Hitchcock with him, but he is a guy that I think is just going to explode when he gets to college. He reminds me of some of those receivers I covered out of South Florida for years that you just said, man, when that guy gets to a college strength and conditioning program, he's going to take off. He's going to ascend. I could see that with Kelshon. I think Texas wants him badly. A&M wants him badly. We'll see which way that goes. Jamie French, I'm not sure on Roy Williams. I kind of see more A.D. Mitchell there. Maybe a little bit more initial acceleration after the catch. I'm not saying Jamie French will run 4.35 at the NFL Combine one day, but I don't think anybody thought A.D. Mitchell was coming out of high school either. I think he reminds me of that frame-wise, having seen Jamie in person, has that great body control, the ability to go win the 50-50 contested ball, the ability to track the ball in the air. I think those are strengths of Jamie French. I think that frame is very similar to A.D. Mitchell. You know, he's 6 foot and a half, maybe 165, a year and a half, 2 years ago. Now he's 6'2", 180, and it's a 6'2", 180 that isn't close to filling out. He's going to be a 6'2", 200. 205-pound guy in time. I really think that's where he's headed. So that'll be interesting. All right, so let's get to more of these questions. Here's one from Doug Haywood. Congratulations to Diabel on his commitment to Texas. I'm glad he committed. However, I'm worried about in-state talented quarterbacks like DJ Lagway, Keelan Russell being passed up. They're just as good, in my opinion. Yeah, so I think it's interesting. You know, look, you got to trust Sark on a quarterback recruiting, right? But I get what people are talking about from an in-state quarterback perspective. Maybe not DJ Lagway, because the reality of that recruitment is when Arch Manning committed to Texas, it was going to be, if anybody saw themselves as a five-star quarterback in the following class, that was going to be a little iffy and difficult. So I don't think that would have happened. That would not have been a reality. Keelan Russell this year, KJ Lacy. Texas loves KJ Lacy. Went on him early. I think Texas really liked Keelan Russell. Be interesting to see those guys in the next 3-4 years, how that pans out. With Diabel, I think, look, 26 quarterback recruiting in-state. I think there's some good players. And I think, you look, Sark, A.J. Milwee went and looked at all those guys. They've seen, watched all those guys play. And I think they just decided Diabel was the guy for them. And, look, haven't seen Diabel in person. I get it. I get what Texas likes. I get what all those schools like. I mean, Diabel had, what, 35, 36 offers when he committed to Texas, with FSU being the most recent one. He had most of the blue blood offers there. So I think he's a tremendous prospect. Here's something from Thomas Quinn. That 26 class is going to be lethal. Already trending for Tredarian Ball, John Turntine. Says they're going to be a top three class. Be interesting to see what happens. If Texas signs a big class this year, will it be a little bit smaller class next year? We'll have to see how the numbers work out. But I think Texas, look, I think Texas is in such a great spot. If they go have a really good, let's say, 10-win season, year one in the SEC, they're off and running in recruiting. I really believe that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Again, thank you for joining the Longhorn live stream. We're calling this one the Talking Ball live stream tonight. Byron, this is an interesting question. Is Jordan Whittington a good comp for Tanook Hines? You know, that's interesting because I think Tanook, similar frame. I think Tanook is maybe a more of a limber body, though. I think Jordan worked out so much he got a little tight. But I think from a physicality and a mindset standpoint, I don't think that's far off at all. I think Tanook Hines has some of that some of those qualities that Jordan Whittington has that made Jordan Whittington such a good player at Texas. And I think that'll give him the ability to stick in the NFL. I think Hines may be a little track faster, right? I think because considering the times he just put up as a junior and how much he made that jump from sophomore 10.85 in the 100 to 10.45, 10.5 as a junior. Now, these guys don't run track as seniors. They're all early graduates now. But I think Hines is on a trajectory. He's a faster athlete maybe than Whittington at the same age. But from a mindset standpoint, Byron, I think you're on to something there. I really like that comparison. So let's see. We're going to go down here. Adam Lane asked, does Texas still have four silents? Yeah, absolutely. I don't think anything's changed there. Now, do all the silents become public? We'll see. Last year, a couple of them did not. So we'll see what happens there. Let's see. E. Kim asks, is there a DeCorey Moore type of receiver prospect in the state of Texas for 26? No, there's some really good prospects in Texas in 26. But look, you guys know they've been part of this on Texas football, rapid growth. I was saying last year, DeCorey Moore is the best receiver in the state, period. Didn't matter what classification anybody was in. I think he's a super freak, man. I think he's up there with those really top guys that I've covered from a ability standpoint. Like, if he goes out and maximizes his talent, he's in that really high-level class of guys. And I'm not going to bring up the names because then people start freaking out and they put your name on it. But DeCorey Moore can be about as good as he wants to be. And I think right now he is trending to be a tremendous, tremendous football player. There just aren't many guys that he just moves different than most people do. And when you see him on a field with 20 other Division I players, he still moves different. There's just that initial movement. But his ability to explode off the line of scrimmage, accelerate, get the top end, throw on the brakes and decel, get into a cut and get out of a cut is different than most guys. Most guys, that takes a lot of body control, great athleticism, great pair of feet, and he has got that. That ability to decelerate at the speed he does, makes him a little different. And he'll go fight for the football. And he's good after the catch, and he's a physical player. I just think DeCorey Moore's tremendous. I don't think we'll see somebody like that again in Texas at wide receiver for a while that plays that position. There might be a 6'5 guy that's a great vertical guy that can go up and get the football. But, I mean, in the what DeCorian does well, he's better than most. Thomas Quinn, as a 6'17, what's your prediction for the way this wide receiver class shakes out? Good question. Ask me again after this weekend. Let's see what happens after this weekend. Some key visits coming up. Here's a good question. From Jedi Master Bevo, would a more commit cause dominoes to fall like Manning and Simmons the last 2 years? What's interesting is when Manning committed, that was a late June type of deal, coming off official visits. That really helped jumpstart that class, especially those offensive linemen that just kind of fell in place after that, right? Colin Simmons waited more into August. That was a little longer recruitment to play out. We'll see what DeCorey Moore does. I mean, look, first day of school, what in Texas is what, August 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, depending on where you go to school. I think we'll see something with DeCorey Moore around that same time. Colin Simmons, I think he's such a big time recruit. You're going to have all the local TVs. You're going to have everybody trying to stream that announcement. That's one that has to be set up. It's going to be done in a big way at Duncanville. It could be July, could be early August. We'll see. That's on DeCorey's timeline. But I think that one may take a little bit longer to play out, and that's going to be a big, very big commitment ceremony in my estimation, because he didn't have it the first time. I think he'll get that this second go around when he makes his final decision here. That'll be interesting to see. He goes to Oregon this weekend. All right, Tyler Rees, this is a good question. Hold on, I need to get enough. Is there any way you see Texas recruiting a two-way player that allows Texas to play both sides of the ball, like Travis Hunter? Travis Hunter's a super freak, right? I mean, he's in that category of those guys that are very rare. Look, if there was ever a guy like that, maybe. But, man, it's tough. I mean, think about trying to be a receiver in Sark's system, how difficult that is to pick up, how long it takes to develop as a receiver there as far as the pre-snap, learning that playbook, big playbook, a lot's put on your plate. Then if you tried to turn around and play defensive back, I don't know. That would take one very, very special player. I think the odds are stacked against that, honestly. But it's a good question. I don't want to say never, because sometimes those guys come along. So we'll see what happens there. All right, let's see. I'm going down again. Okay, this is interesting from Russ Hinkle. Not a recruiting question, but where do you expect to see Nansen's mark on defense this year? I think maybe maybe a little more aggressiveness up front, maybe a little more more exotic blitzes. I think you could see some of that factor in this year. But with Johnny Nance, you look what he did at Arizona, kind of look what they did with their fronts. Kind of Rod Babers talked about this with the exotics in the blitz game, seemingly doing something every week. Great job that I believe they did against Washington. I think you're going to see some of that this year. I really think that. I think a more aggressive defensive front, especially on the interior at times, is there's something I'm looking out for as well this year. So we shall see. All right. 817, Mr. Hawk Too Much has a super chat. Good questions. DL seems to be the only question mark contingency plans. Who? What's interesting, I think this is going to come down to Texas winning out for their guys. I mean, look, there's you've had Josiah Sharma on campus, Myron Charles on campus. I think Texas in the top two for those guys. This last weekend, Kevin Wynn, first trip ever to Austin. Then you have Brandon Brown, who you need to hold on to, right? Because if not, he probably goes to LSU, and then this chat will get wild. So with Texas and LSU fans, by the way. And I think Brandon Brown likes the idea of playing Texas. Then this weekend, you have Zion Williams. You have DJ Sanders from Belleville, who's more of the developmental prospect of those six. It's going to take him a little longer, I think, in his development. Now, the key is, can Texas win out on three of those guys? I mean, that's saying hitting 50% of national recruitments or recruitments against your regional rivals. If you go 3 for 6, Texas has done a hell of a job, in my estimation. That's normally a 2 for 6 scenario to me. If Texas were to get three of those guys, I think it'd be a great class. I do think Texas will continue to evaluate guys. I think a 4-man class is probably where Texas heads. And if you only have three guys early, or if you only have two early, I think Texas will continue to chip away at some other guys, stay on some of those guys, see how the seasons go, see what happens with the coaching carousel. Also look at a senior year evaluations at that position, see if there's anybody they can or want to try to flip. So I think that'll be interesting to see. But I think Texas is – they have to win two of these six. If they win two of these six, they're off to a good start. If they only win one of the six, then they got some work to make up. Let's see. David Rawls asks, is DJ Sanders a sleeper recruit? I put him more as a developmental recruit. So I think he's just going to take a little time in that development. I think that's more of a 2-year window to develop for him, develop physically, develop technically. He got to get off his toes a little bit. He plays maybe on his tiptoes a little bit too much. So you get some developmental things with him that are going to have to occur. And I think that plus the physical may take him a little longer than some of the other guys that Texas is recruiting of those six. So we'll see what happens there. Shook One's a good question here. And we're going to get a couple more questions in. We're going to go for about 5 more minutes. Shook One's, your opinion, is Lance Jackson a D-end or D-tackle long-term? He says he needs to lose weight. So he definitely wants to be a D-end. What I like about Lance Jackson, one of the things Rod Babers talks about that I am absolutely on board with him is moving some of these guys inside on third down. That's going to be the key. So Lance Jackson, if he ends up being a 6'6", 280-pound, powerful pass rushing end, that's a guy that can play three downs but can do it in a different way, right? If you have a NASCAR package, you can bring him inside and let him blitz up the middle, let him play at that D-tackle position or three technique on third down. I think he's going to have that ability as a player. I think it's going to be hard to keep that frame under 275, 280. He's just going to be too big, and man, does he look great. I mean, a word coming out of Austin, again, every time he shows up is he may be the best-looking prospect on the hoof that Texas has come in. So I think that's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But I think defensive end with the ability to be a third-down interior pass rusher is something I could see from him. So, again, I want to take a second before I want to make a run, kind of go over the guys that visited last weekend to end the show. Maybe take a couple more questions, but I want to take a second again for John Donovan of Longhorn Wealth Management, the sole sponsor of tonight's Talking Ball Longhorn live stream. As a proud University of Texas alum, John has served for 15 years as a Texas X's board member while focusing his firm on serving his fellow UT alumni and all UT employees. John's a certified financial planner, has spent over 30 years providing investment, retirement, insurance, and estate planning services and solutions to Longhorn families and friends across the nation. So to receive your free 90-minute consultation to explore how Longhorn Wealth can help you and your family secure your own financial future, simply call the Longhorn Wealth team at 972-707-4900 or schedule an appointment online at www.longhornwealth.net. Finally, Longhorn Wealth is wishing good luck to all our current and former Longhorns competing at the U.S. Olympic Trials for a right to represent USA in the Summer Olympics in France in July and August. Hook 'em. Thank you very much to John Donovan. All right, real quick, I want to go down kind of just speed. I call it speed dating. Well, I got some fun with this, right? The visitors last weekend, Ricky Stewart, running back, committed to Texas. Wide receiver DeCorian Moore, I still think Texas is in a good spot there. Kelshawn Johnson's going to decide between Texas, Texas A&M. I think he likes Texas more. I'm not saying he's going to pick Texas. We'll see where that goes. That's a nice little battle there. A&M saying you're the guy, you can be the guy of a three-man receiver class. And then Texas has DeCorian Moore, Jamie French, a lot of these big-time guys visiting. Also going to take a three- or four-man wide receiver class. I think that'll be an interesting little battle there. Dalen McCutcheon, I tend to like FSU for him going into the visit this weekend. At offensive line, we haven't talked about it. I think John Mills can make a decision this week, or it could be 3 weeks away. I think it'll be Texas or Washington. I think Florida's on the peripheral. Some people have said Florida is very much in it. I'm not buying it. I think that's Texas or Washington. It has been all along. That comes down to if he wants to play football in the South, it'll be Texas. And obviously, you have the family ties up in Washington, the four family members that played the University of Washington.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out. Where a day on board is never boring, and full throttle is half the fun. Where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Then you have Nick Brooks. This is going to be interesting, guys. Nick Brooks had a whale of a time at Texas. He had a great visit, as did his mom, little brother. Actually, I think he won the karaoke contest Saturday. If you ask the other visitors that were on campus, they said he sang country song at karaoke and kind of stole the show. He was the best singer. So Nick Brooks may have a voice on him too. We're going to have to ask Nick about that. But I think Texas and Georgia duking this one out. I think this one could play out a little while. It'll be interesting. This may not be a late June, early July one. This could play out. Some guys might want to wait till right when their senior season starts, like Jamie French is around late August, August 30th. We'll see on Nick Brooks. I think it's a possibility it could play out a little bit longer. But I like where Texas is at in this battle. We'll see how it goes. I mean, it's Georgia. This is a large human battle. Kyle Flood, Stacey Searle, Steve Sarkisian, Kirby Smart, Texas, Georgia. We're gonna have a lot of these in the future. Lamont Rogers, a bit of a wild card, visiting Oklahoma midweek, FSU weekend. He came with his uncle on the visit. We'll see where that one goes. I think he had a great visit. Mom was here in April, was not on this visit. Apparently, she's going to go to Oklahoma. We'll have to see what happens. Missouri in the picture, A&M in the picture there. D-line, Kevin Wynn, we went over that. Florida State this weekend. I think FSU, Texas, South Carolina, Georgia, all four in it. I think somebody in the family may want them closer home. That's understandable. Most parents do. Most family members do. But if Kevin Wynn wants to get away, I think they're going to be supportive of that decision. I think Kevin is interesting. I think he's his own man. I think he's really looking at this from a football and that culinary, being a chef, owning a restaurant, that perspective. And I think wherever that bond, the combination of that is best is where he'll end up, whether that's Austin, Tallahassee, Columbia, or stays close to home in Athens. We'll see what happens there. Talked about Brandon Brown. I think Brandon really likes the idea of playing at Texas. We'll see how those discussions go with his family after he visits OU. I think he'll have a final decision late June, early July. I think that one's coming. Riley Pettijohn will be at A&M this weekend. Texas, Ohio State, A&M. I think he visited USC, but I think those are the three. A&M's going to throw the entire kitchen sinks in College Station M this weekend. We'll see what happens there. Texas has been a pretty good spot. Jonathan Cunningham, I think it's a recruitment Texas can win. He's going to either visit Kansas or Missouri this weekend. And then Tristan Castro is interesting at DB, guys. And I'll get back on Edge, Smith Orogbo, and Marco Jones in a second. Tristan Castro committed to USC, had a great time. Mom, aunt were on the visit with him. CJ Vogel and I talked to him at Austin Bergstrom Airport before he left on Sunday. I think Texas, you know, look, I think USC still kind of maybe has to mess it up a little bit if the visit doesn't go great. Maybe the visit isn't as good as Texas. That could be a decision. But we'll see. He's at USC this weekend. But I think what Texas has done is they're giving themselves a chance at some of these recruitments where you have to get them on campus to give yourself an opportunity. And like I've been saying, I think Texas will win two or three of these. We don't expect them to. And they'll probably drop a couple that we think they're going to win right now. And I think that's par for the course when you're recruiting this many four-star, five-star, top 300-level players around the country. So that's pretty much last weekend's official visits. Let me cough, and I got one more thing for you guys. Hold on. All right, this weekend, let's kind of – oh, well, real quick, let's see this. Let's get a few more questions. Wynn's tape is dominant. Yeah, Rick Ambergy, I agree. I think Kevin Wynn is a really good football player. When I saw him in person at the sectional track meet in Carrollton, Georgia, man, is he put together. He's going to be a barrel-chested guy, thick arms, big elbow bones, 6'2", 315 on his visit last weekend. And he's caught quickness. Watching him throw – the discus at the regional meet. He's got that explosiveness, that quickness, that ability to bend and create that explosion that gives – here's some of Kevin Wynn here. It gives him the ability. Yeah, he'll be really good over the ball, but I'm telling you, he might be able to play some three too. He might be able to play in a B-gap. He is not just an A-gap player. I think he's a very talented player, and I really like that frame, and I like that kid's mentality. I'm a big fan. A big fan of Kevin Wynn. A big fan of the way the maturity he handles everything with as well. Just getting to know him a little bit. But that initial power, look at that combo. He plays low, and then he fires up right into that offensive lineman. He's not a guy that plays high. He understands leverage. He does at times. All guys do until they learn that their butt's got to be above their shoulders consistency. You see there in his stance. But still, with that being said, look at that initial quickness, those movement skills. That's a guy that, he can play over the ball, but he's going to be able to play some in the B-gaps too, scheme dependent. So good-looking prospect, super strong kid naturally. He's got good quickness. He's not going to be a chase outside the numbers pursuer of the ball, but in between the hash marks, he's got that quickness to pursue the football. So he very talented. All right, Jedi Master Bevo has one. Fasusi, Brooks, and Mills would be an elite offensive line class to go with what Texas has committed. Yeah, totally agree. I mean, look, if Texas ended up with that six-man offensive line class, I don't think there'd be a Texas fan complaining about anything on the offensive line. Adam Jones brought this up. Sorry, almost forgot. Jones and Orogbo, Marco Jones. Everything we're hearing sounds like Texas or Michigan on July 2nd. We'll see what happens this weekend with the visit, but I think Texas did a great job. Johnny Nansen, obviously. Texas was recruiting Marco Jones when Jeff Choate was there. Johnny Nansen came in after Choate got the Nevada job and has really even kick-started that California recruiting even more for Texas. Texas legitimate shot at Marco Jones there. By the way, his dad looks like he can still play. played at Northwestern Colorado, I believe. I mean, I was like, wow. He said he had one play left. He said he couldn't play anymore. He had one play left. Smith Orogbo is going to be very interesting to me. July 1st announcement. He said four schools, Texas, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, where he visits this weekend in Washington. I don't see Washington. That surprised me. I think they've done a fine job recruiting. I don't see that far. There was a lot of noise coming off the Texas Tech visit last weekend. I know Texas fans are curious because the parents didn't make the trip. I believe they had to work this weekend. His father was on the trip in April. Academics are what matters 1,000% to that family. I think Smith Orogbo, the football component, is very important to him as well. If Smith doesn't go to Texas, I think it's because maybe people around him might think it's Austin's too big, too much going on. They want him in a smaller environment. That would be my best bet at being around that recruitment a little bit. But the visit to Oklahoma this weekend will be key there as well. That'll mean two visits since the Texas Tech visit. We'll see what happens. But I think Smith likes Texas. I'm not saying he's going to Texas. I think he likes Texas more than maybe people let on. So then this weekend, a percentage on one of the highs. pretty high. I'll say that. All right. this go over this weekend real quick. You have the three DBs, midweek visitors, Dejon Lee, assuming he makes it in, Dorian Brew, and Nathan Tillman out of Mansfield Timberview. We'll see what happens with Dorian Brew. Texas wanted to get him in on a weekend. The midweek wasn't the first option. That's when they're getting him in, though. That's just the reality of it. And we'll see what happens. There was at Oregon last week and has Ohio State this weekend. We'll be at Texas midweek. Obviously, USC is getting a lot of run with him right now. Visited LSU as well. But I think Texas has been in this for a while. We'll see what happens after this week. Nathan Tillman committed to SMU. He visits TCU after Texas at Baylor last weekend. Was at Utah the 7th. I'm a fan of the guy. I'm a fan of guys that are 185 pounds and run 10-7 as juniors in high school that are also true safeties, have been playing the safety position. When I was through Mansfield Timberview last year and I kind of asked about – I was there to see Dylan Battle, the D lineman, and asked about other prospects at the school, who's standing out. The staff brought up Tillman as a guy who was really coming on in that program, and they were spot on with that. Then he went out on the track and burned it up this year at 185 pounds. I think Texas has a legit shot there. Then this weekend, I mean, it's a huge visit weekend. Obviously, you have KJ Lacy committed. You have James Simon committed. The receivers coming in, Jamie French and Kalik Lockett. Tight ends big this weekend. Amari Winston committed, but then Nick Townsend is in this weekend as well. I think that's a huge visit weekend for Texas with Nick Townsend, because I think he's one of the elite athletes in America in this class. D-line, obviously offensive line, we've been over that. Fasusi in this weekend. Then you with the commitments, Jackson Christian, Devin Coleman, Jordan Coleman. So there's going to be a couple of familiar faces there for Fasusi from the DFW area. D-line, Zion Williams, huge visit weekend for Texas with Zion Williams. Obviously at LSU lean headed into his July 4th commitment. He was at A&M. As well, he's visited TCU. Jamarcus McFarland's a distant relative of his. I still think Texas LSU is where that's going to come from. DJ Sanders on campus this weekend, visited Michigan, visited A&M last weekend, will be at Texas this weekend. That's a wild card, could go any way. He's not a guy that really communicates a lot. So he's a wild card even for college coaches sometimes. Linebacker Madden Faramo is coming in. That's a big one. Notre Dame lean, see what happens there. I think he's a big time player, one of the best linebackers in the country. Texas does want a three linebacker class, by the way. So then defensive back, Kate Phillips, Aiden Anding, Devin Williams. Huge visit weekends. This will conclude the June visits for the Texas Longhorns, over 40 official visitors. So we shall see what happens. But again, my prediction right now remains the same. I think Texas will sign a fourth consecutive top five level recruiting class. I think that's whether that's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I can't say that right now. There's a lot of things that are in play, but I think Texas is trending for a number of guys. But I think the main thing is they're giving themselves some really good shots on goal. They're in the top two with a number of their targets, and you're going to win some of those and you'll lose some of those. But I think Texas will sign another top five level class. Then the question becomes after this summer, as we head into the season, what's left as far as how many needs were filled, how many needs are left to be filled. That'll tell you where things go during the season as they get closer to signing day in December. So, again, thank you guys Rick Ambergy, I think tight end's much clearer after this coming weekend. By the way, last thing, I haven't mentioned Michael Terry. Little update there. Had a really good visit to A&M. I think Texas A&M, Nebraska. Again, a guy that may not be in a rush to make a decision. We'll see if that changes. That could go for a little while here. We'll see. These kids move off their timelines. Texas legit shot with Michael Terry. We'll see what happens. He did have a good visit to Texas A&M, as expected. So we'll see what happens with Michael Terry. Nebraska's still in it as well. But thank you guys very much for joining us, joining me on this Monday night special edition of Talking Ball, Longhorn live stream. Dia Bell commits to Texas 2026. Obviously, there's already committing the boat, but this 2026 quarterback, Broward County, American Heritage. And by the way, if you watch American Heritage this year, which you will because Dia Bell's committed, he has three receivers that are Power 5 guys on his team. Zamari Sanders ran 20.5 200 as a sophomore. Brandon Bennett ran 10.4 flat as a sophomore in the 100 meters. They had the second fastest 4x100 to Atascocita in the country this year. They beat Duncanville's time. Then they have a third guy that's committed to Miami who may reclass to 25. American Heritage, one thing about Dia Bell, he's not going to have to adjust to throwing the fast receivers. He plays with the fastest receivers in the country this year at American Heritage, and three of those four are sophomores. So thank you very much for joining in. We'll be talking more and coffee and football in the morning. You guys have a great night.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring and full throttle is half the fun, where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.